Hello, Marion Pallister, Justice and Peace Scotland here. As we head into June, many will be starting to tentatively plan the break with the children that we didn't get last year. Time for some fun with the kids, for catch-up time with grandparents. After all, Scotland's children have had it tough during the pandemic, haven't they? Tough, but let's be honest, we simply can't compare our situation to what happens elsewhere in the world, and the month of June will bring that home to us with a series of special international days that spell out all that Justice and Peace aims to highlight, to campaign against, to sort out. The first of those special days is on June the 4th, the International Day of Innocent Children Victims of Aggression. According to the UN, the purpose of the day is to acknowledge the pain suffered by children throughout the world who are victims of physical, mental, and emotional abuse. It affirms the UN's commitment to protect the rights of children, and its work is guided by the Convention on the Rights of the Child. Sadly, there are too many children in our own country who are victims of physical, mental, and emotional abuse. And as we have seen more generally with domestic violence, the figures for such abuse have spiralled during the pandemic. But in countries where there is armed conflict, and our news bulletins bring horrible evidence from such situations, children are most affected. There's even a list of the 6 most common violations of children, which I find particularly shocking. These are the recruitment and use of children in war, in other words, forcing children to become soldiers, killing, sexual violence, abduction, attacks of schools and hospitals, and denial of humanitarian access, which in plain language means help can't get through to them. Imagine being in such terrible situations without so much as the help of a helicopter drop of food, let alone rescue or the comfort of an adult with a listening ear. We've had this commemorative day since 1982 in response to an appalling number of acts of aggression by Israel on Palestine and Lebanese children. Sadly, recent news suggests no change in that situation. This day looks to children throughout the world who are victims of aggression. Those who come to my mind are the children Skiaf told us about this Lent, living in South Sudan and subject to frequent attacks by different warring factions. Mines are illegal weapons, of course, but still employed by some aggressors who aren't too fussy about the legality of their strategies, and children in South Sudan are frequent victims, losing limbs, sight, lives. Worldwide, there are 250 million children living in countries and areas affected by conflict. The UN's 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development offers a new agenda to end all forms of violence against children, but that is going to need the support of all states everywhere. What can we do? Let's not imagine that we're helpless in face of such a huge problem. We can raise our voices loud and clear to our MSPs and MPs demanding that international humanitarian and human rights laws are created and enforced. We can lobby the UN. We can tell the Dicastery for Integral Human Development that it too needs to be very vocal on this issue. Hot on the heels of the International Day of Innocent Children Victims of Aggression on June the 4th comes the World Day Against Child Labour on June the 12th. Remember how we weren't going to go back to the bad old ways of pre-COVID? That was to include curbing consumerism, making sure we don't make purchases that exploit the most vulnerable in society, hopefully not buying a single thing that might have been produced by child labour. But, and it's an enormous but, there are 152 million children in child labour right now, 72 million of them in what is described by the UN as hazardous work. The pandemic, with the accompanying economic crisis, has pushed more children into this unacceptable situation, working in difficult conditions and for longer hours. This is doubly troubling because before the pandemic, the number of children exploited in this way had fallen by 94 million since the start of this century. Then the reduction started to slow, threatening the UN's Sustainable Development Goals target to end all forms of child labour by 2025. There are, of course, lots of children who are in paid or unpaid work that isn't harmful to them. But in the least developed countries, more than one in four children aged between 5 and 17 are in work that affects their physical, mental, social or educational development. That means in Africa, there are some 72 million kids doing stuff that harms them body and soul. In Asia and the Pacific, the figure is 62 million. And we'd find 11 million in the Americas, 6 million in Europe and Central Asia, and 1 million in the Arab states. And yes, you heard me right, 4% of child labour is to be found in Europe. And what I found was a totally unexpected statistic is the fact that numbers are actually higher in middle-income countries, around 84 million, and 2 million live in high-income countries. That's just not right. The UN has marked 2021 as the International Year for the Elimination of Child Labour, asking the International Labour Organization to head up putting this into action. It's hoped the higher profile will help meet that 2025 target to end all forms of child labour. On June the 12th, there'll be an online debate about child labour on ILO TV on YouTube. ILO, International Labour Organization, TV, is available by just asking your search engine for that, ILO TV. If you Google World Day Against Child Labour and go to the ILO site, you'll find some practical advice. They believe that individuals, that's you and me, have power when they work together in a coordinated global movement. And of course, Justice and Peace Scotland forms part of that global movement. They suggest that we write to a decision maker, raise funds for a charity or school dealing with prevention of child labour, read about fair trade and how it benefits children of poor families, and educate ourselves and then share what we learn with friends, family, co-workers and others and work together to increase our voting power. In trying to educate myself, I found that 7 in 10 children in child labour work in agriculture, and that's why fair trade is so important. A third are completely outside the education system, so they aren't going to break the poverty cycle. And what I found most disturbing, especially as my mobile phone is on its last legs and I need a new one fast, is that children as young as 7 in the Democratic Republic of Congo are mining cobalt for our phones, tablets and laptops. Breathe in the cobalt dust and your lungs are going to suffer. And I know I wouldn't want an adult, let alone a 7-year-old, to work with chisels in metres deep holes to get the cobalt-rich rocks to the surface. Yet UNICEF says that about 40,000 boys and girls are working like this in the south of DR Congo. And the major manufacturers of our phones and tablets won't reveal whether the cobalt they use comes from such sources. But surely they are the decision makers that we can write to. An overload of emails and letters to Apple or Samsung must surely make them stop and think. Perhaps we could make a concerted effort on June the 16th, because that's International Day of the African Child, and these kids in DR Congo really need our help. Some say that they have to work because their families can't afford to buy food and clothing for them, and too many families in countries throughout Africa are back to being able to afford just one meal a day, and the World Food Programme is having to step in for the first time since the earliest years of this century. This International Day of the African Child was established by the Organisation of African Unity in 1991 to raise awareness of the African child and particularly the need for continuing improvement in education. The family that can't afford one meal a day or the clothes to put on a child's back certainly can't afford school fees. And while some African countries have free elementary schooling, it isn't truly free. We know how difficult it is here for struggling families to buy school uniforms, shoes, school bags and the rest. As well as food banks, Scotland has seen a rise in uniform banks, and local authorities have had to increase grants to help stressed out families on low and no incomes. Justice and Peace Scotland campaigned successfully for extra funding from the Scottish Government, but the pandemic has made the situation horrendous for some. So imagine the family in an African country where no social benefits, no grants, no food banks, and certainly no uniform banks are there to help. Just getting a child through primary school is a massive struggle, and the fees for secondary school can defeat even those in work. The theme for 2021 is to accelerate the implementation of an Africa fit for children by 2040. It seeks a justice system that is child-friendly and to address the challenges faced by children in Africa every day of their lives. Again, I have to ask, so what can we do? And the answer must be to raise our voices for the voiceless, to seek a decent overseas aid commitment instead of the reduction by the Foreign and Commonwealth Office while cash was easily found to pay for more nuclear warheads. Programmes that were providing education for some of the world's most vulnerable children have been halted by that cut in overseas aid. And as someone who heads up a Scottish charity that supports the education of some of Zambia's most vulnerable children, and no, not with UK government aid, I know firsthand that the poverty cycle is never going to be broken until all girls and boys across Africa have access to quality secondary education, two of the UN's sustainable goals that we intend will lead to achievement of a third goal, to eliminate poverty. Without that education and linked to climate change and conflict, there are few answers for young people around the world but to pack up a bundle and leave, to seek a future that's denied them at home, in another country, any country where there might be work. And that leads me to June the 20th, UN World Refugee Day. Justice and Peace Scotland has highlighted the plight of refugees for too long now. Our work with Care for Calais has raised awareness of the terrible situation in which refugees find themselves at the end of a very long road that they thought would offer safety and a future. In May, our Bishop President, Bishop Bill Nolan, joined with Bishop Paul McAleenan of the English and Welsh Bishops Conference to write to Priti Patel in response to the UK government's so-called new plan for immigration. That letter took the Home Secretary to task on the issue of creating a two-tier asylum system. It sought proper development of community sponsorship and resettlement for asylum seekers, and sought a system tackling human trafficking that never criminalises victims. That letter is on our website and on social media. Please spread it far and wide. Justice and Peace Scotland aims to do what it says on the tin, and in the month of June, let's see if we can all join together to raise awareness of aggression against children, of child labour, of the plight of children in Africa, and of the refugees who may be fleeing their home countries and seeking asylum here because of any of those situations. Pope Francis has said that we are all responsible for child labour, which deprives so many children of their childhood. Perhaps in June we can keep in mind his words. Children are the future of the human family. It is up to us all to foster their growth, health, and serenity. Thank you for listening.